Good evening.
Good evening.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That didn't sound very enthusiastic.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. That's much better. Hello, Bob. Good to have you. And Val. Good. Hey, we're going to have a fun little Christmas program tonight. Got a lot of little things we're going to do. We're going to start out by lighting the candles. We have five volunteers to light the five candles. So if my volunteers can come up here. And you're going to be first, Sloan? All right. So we're going to start with this candle here, the shortest one, and then go around that way. So you light this one, okay? All right. Hang on a second there. Okay. The first candle that Sloan's lighting is the candle of hope. And as we know, Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Elam, you write the second one. That's the candle of peace. Jesus Christ is the only one who can truly bring peace to the world. Lily's going to light the pink. She wanted to light the pink candle. The candle of joy. And we can only have true joy through Jesus Christ. Malachi is going to light the fourth one, which is the candle of love. And we learn to love through Jesus Christ too. And Tatum gets to light the fifth candle, which is the Christ candle. Which what we're celebrating tonight is Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you guys. You can, yeah. All right, y'all can sit down. Give it to Mr. Jim behind you there. Let me just give a little reading regarding the Christ candle that we light tonight. It actually celebrates the end of Advent season and the coming of Jesus Christ and the arrival of Jesus Christ as a baby. So let's remember how he came as a baby, but yet, more importantly, that the world through him might be saved, and he will one day return in glory. John chapter 1 says this, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And later on in John chapter 8, he says this, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Let's open up in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity, for this Christmas service this evening, and all the hard work that's gone into it with Joanne and Gary and the kids and all. We just invite you to be here amongst us and to enjoy how we try to honor you tonight. So we just ask for your blessings for this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who's next? What's next? Kids, I don't know. I'm not in charge. Glenda says, look at your bulletin, Kurt. Okay, let's see here. Okay, we're going to do hymn number 442, it looks like. Right? Is it Joy to the World? Yeah. 442, let's all stand. Bud, you want to come up and lead us? No, he doesn't, okay. Me and Nancy will lead you. Come on up, Nancy.
And nature. God's hills and dreams, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more the sins and sorrows grow, no thorns and hairs the ground. He comes to far as the curse is found. He moves the world into truth and grace, and makes the nations free. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. You may be seated. And now, intro for children to sing, Mary, Did You Know? Who's going to sing the loudest?
We'll both hold it.
All right.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
would someday walk on water?
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know
that your baby boy
has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know
child you're holding
was trying to rely on you. I was like, I know, I was trying to rely on you, and you were trying to rely on me. To imagine being in the places and situations that I have been and I'm going to tell you about. I remember so much that's happened in my life. Times of exaltation and times of deep sorrow and grief. And times when I was confused at what God was doing and with my life. And have you ever been there? I thought so. I was about 14 years old when Joseph came to talk to my parents about taking me to be his wife. He was very respected, and he was a carpenter. In other words, he was a good catch. When he had left, we were betrothed. You would call it engaged. As customary, he went to build a room on his parents' house for us to live in. I was so pleased that he had chosen me to be his wife. In those times, everyone called us husband and wife, even though we were only betrothed, because it was such a sacred Jewish custom. It was a very ordinary day when I looked up, and an angel of the Lord was standing in front of me, and I was so frightened. And the angel had come to see me. Mary, a poor girl living in Nazareth. The angel told me that I would become the mother of the Messiah. He said that I was highly favored by God, and the Lord was with me. I was troubled at these words, but he told me not to be afraid, that I would conceive and give birth to a son, and I was to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end. I asked him how that could be, since I had never known a man. And he said that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and the power of the Most High would overshadow me. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. After all these words, the angel told me that my cousin Elizabeth was also going to have a child in her old age. And she was already in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I told the angel that I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then he left. You will have to imagine the shock and the feelings that I had at that time. Well, I became very excited and began to prepare for a trip into the hill country to visit Elizabeth, my cousin. Upon arrival, we were so overwhelmed with the joy that her baby leapt within her. It was a joyous time, and Elizabeth spoke these words to me. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. At this point, I began to sing a song, which is now known as the Magnificat. It began like this, and you will have to imagine the rest. My soul doth glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, was a priest, and I found out that an angel had appeared to him, telling him that he and Elizabeth were to have a baby. His reaction was disbelief and desired proof because he knew his wife was too old to have a child. As proof, God struck him dumb until the birth of his son. The angel told him that he would have a baby and that they were to name the baby John. And I stayed there with Elizabeth for about 3 months. Before Joseph and I were to come together, I had to tell him I was with child of the Holy Spirit. Imagine how that went over. Since Joseph was faithful to the law, he decided not to place me in public disgrace and was going to divorce me quietly. Imagine how this made me feel after being so excited. Once again, the angel came and appeared to Joseph this time and told him not to be afraid to take me home as his wife because what was conceived in me was from the Holy Spirit. He told Joseph that I would have a son and he was to be called Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. Meanwhile, Zachariah has been mute and now it's time for Elizabeth to deliver her baby. All the family and friends were being busybodies and trying to come up with names for the baby. Elizabeth told them that his name was to be John. And when Zachariah wrote the name John on a writing tablet, he immediately was able to speak and began praying God and to God and began to prophesy. It began like this. You can imagine the rest. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone was to go to their own town to register. So Joseph and I went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belongs to the lineage and house of David. We went together, and I was 9 months pregnant and expecting any time. It was a long 80-mile trip, sitting on that donkey, bouncing up and down, bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. It was an extremely uncomfortable ride. But we made it only to find out that there were no guest rooms available. So we had to stay in the stable because I knew that my time was near and we were both so very tired. The time came. And Joseph helped me, and I delivered my baby, the Messiah. God had come to earth and chosen me to be his mother while he was on earth. So I wrapped him in cloths, and because we were in a stable, I laid him in the manger with cloths to soften the area. After all I have gone through, believe me, he needs to enter all our lives miraculously, still and quiet, as he did on that Bethlehem morning. Open your hearts and let him in. Imagine this. There were shepherds in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. And after a great commotion, they came to visit us. They told of an angel. Now, these angels are all over the place. He appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They admitted that they had been afraid. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." They said suddenly that there was a great company of the heavenly host that appeared with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom on his favor rests. And as soon as the angels left, they decided to follow the star here where they found us. And once they had seen the baby, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And everyone was amazed. I didn't understand all that was happening then, but I treasured them all in my heart. On the eighth day, it was customary in Jewish law for a Jewish boy to be circumcised. We traveled 6 miles to Jerusalem, and at that time, we named him Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, Emmanuel, God with us. Then we went back to Bethlehem. After 40 days, we traveled back to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of pigeons or doves. This was for my purification. While we were there, there was a man named Simeon. He was righteous, he was devout, and he came up to us. He had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In the temple courts, Simeon tenderly took Jesus in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign God, you have promised you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. We marveled at these words. There was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She had lost her husband only after 7 years of marriage. She was now 84 years old, and she had never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She came up to us and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Afterward, we returned to Bethlehem, where we lived for a while. During this time, the Magi, or wise men from the east, came down to Jerusalem asking about Jesus because they had seen the star and wanted to worship him. They went for directions from King Herod, who became very worried about this and asked the chief priests and teachers where this baby was to be born. And they told him, Bethlehem in Judea, for it is written, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And Herod sent them to find us. And they followed the star to our home in Bethlehem. When they arrived, they saw the child and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After they left, they did not return to King Herod as requested, but went back to their own country, having been warned in a dream. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I can tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. Herod's men killed over 30 babies trying to kill our Jesus. We were really getting used to angels by now. I hope you were aware of them also. So, Joseph got us all up during the night, and we left for Egypt, where we stayed until the death of Herod. Then here came the angel again to Joseph in another dream, saying to him, Get up! Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. But when we heard that Archelaus, Herod's son, was reigning in Judea, we were a little afraid to go there and withdrew to the district of Galilee and went to live in the town of Nazareth. Every year, we attended the festival of Pentecost in Jerusalem. When Jesus was 12 years old, we were returning home from the festival. We'd been on the road for a day when we realized that Jesus was missing. Imagine losing your child, this very special child. This, of course, caused us to make a quick trip back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, we found him in the temple courts. He was speaking and asking questions of the teachers. When we scolded him for being absent from the group, he responded, "Well, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" He was obedient to us, and I treasured all these things in my heart. And he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I was with him wherever he went. I watched him preach the Sermon on the Mount. I met and knew his disciples who followed him. But instead of attracting powerful people taking his rightful place in the temple as he taught, he was alienating the priests and the leaders. My heart ached with worry for my son. I listened to the stories or parables he told the crowds and taught us how to live righteous lives. Jesus was eventually arrested and betrayed. If you can imagine, by one of his own followers, Judas. I was in agony when I heard the news that he had been condemned to die. I watched with Mary Magdalene and his disciple John as the Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross until he died. I saw the welts on his back and the blood dripping from his hands and his feet. I heard him gasp as he tried to breathe. It was like a sword was piercing my heart and my soul. The sun was gone, and darkness fell on the whole world. Jesus looked at me, though, with so much love and requested John to take me home and take care of me. "Why have you forsaken me, God?" he cried out. And we all cried. That wasn't the end. I was also there 3 days later when the news came. There was joy and triumph when his victory moment came and he rose alive again from the dead. My little boy, who was mine for 33 years, had died with a load of sin on his back. For 40 days he continued to teach his disciples and forgive. And the 40th day, he ascended to heaven to be with his heavenly Father. All this was done so that we could be redeemed and become children of God. Death wasn't the end, and it's not the end for us either. It is a victory, just like the glory that came when Jesus obeyed his Father. In Bethlehem, he had been my baby. But now, he became my Savior. During Advent, I awaited his birth. But now, during Advent, I await his return. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the sun and the stars, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll be with you wherever you may be. And I'll be with you, and the dance went on. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday when the world wasn't bad black, hard with the devil on your back. I buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance, and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you on wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I'm the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I was saved at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell in those who believed in everything that was done by my Son. And all the things I treasured in my heart and imagined culminated on that day that I was saved. Are you saved by his amazing grace? Have you let the Holy Spirit into your life? There will be a day when this child of mine will return in his glory to take us all home to be with him. Oh, what a glorious day that will be, because it will be the coming to earth he deserves and will show how he really is, the Son of God. He was told by the priests and the leaders, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered, saying, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. These things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." He said, "I have overcome the world." Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. John later stated, "Jesus did many things. If everything were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. I don't know how they kept these things on their heads, because mine didn't want to stay on there. You're welcome.
There's one piece that is missing, and it's been here all along. The last page of Revelation says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and might enter in through the gates to the city." But Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know about the cross because everything is about the cross. So what happened at Christmas? Why isn't there a cross? I mean, where's Jesus? So let's think for a moment. Jesus was on Mount Calvary, and they had to look up to see him. It says that he was raised up. In the Old Testament, there was a pole with a brazen serpent. They had to look up and see so they could be healed, which was representative of Jesus. Later it had to be destroyed because they began to worship it, but that's beside the point. Where's the cross? I mean, we see it on here, but where is the cross? What is the sign of Jesus? It's the cross. What is the sign of the Messiah? It's the cross. We have the wise men. Sometimes the Lord uses people. They may know the Lord or they may not. And he uses them as painting pictures. They're on a trip. You heard a great story this morning. The pastor was really great. Told all kinds of things. It was wonderful. So you might want to get that. I don't know if you can get. I won't say that. I don't know if you can or not. It's very interesting. They're on a long journey. We're on a long journey. Where are we going? We're going to the Messiah. We're going to the Messiah. And we know where it is because we've got a cross that we have. The Lord said, "Take up your cross and follow me." So what happened with the wise men? They're carrying all this gold, incense, myrrh, as we heard, it could be robbed at any moment. They're going by faith. They've been told they're going face to face with Messiah. How do they know they're going to get there? It's the cross. They're seeing the cross. the sign of the Messiah's coming. That's why we place many times on the trees the star at the top. It's actually a cross. Everything is at the beginning. Everything is at the end. He is Alpha and He is Omega. When we get our eyes off the cross, we have missed a picture. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth be no more, I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Thank you, Gary and Joanne. Well, Mary's gone, Joanne's back. So. What a great service. I just felt so close as you were to the Lord as you were going through the life of Mary. It was just such a blessing to hear that. And the background with the music was great too, Gary. Those instruments are great. Does anybody have anything they would like to share? Just give you an opportunity this Christmas season that maybe the Lord has laid on your heart that you just want to, it could be something brief or whatever. We do have a few minutes, so I just didn't want to close it down. Bob's always got something to say, I know that. It's good to be here, he says. So, well, do we have anything else? Glenda, before, okay, well, what I think I'll do then is we'll close in prayer, and we'll include a blessing, and we'll all go downstairs, and we have some snacks to eat, and some gifts under the Christmas tree down there. So it's just been a great, sweet time. It's always... Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim said if you're not going downstairs, we want everybody to go downstairs, but if you're not, we do have some pokes, little tote bags for you to take with you. So we have those too. So let's yes, ma'am. Val, you have a request?
We're going to do a last song.
I didn't see it in the bulletin, but we certainly can. Silent Night. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing to do. All right. What? Who knows the page number? I think we know the words pretty much by heart anyway. You need the music? No. What? 439. 439. Okay. Let's all stand and sing Silent Night.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, before we have our prayer, just want to present to Joanne. Thank you so much for your contributions from the church. Poinsettia for you. And I would say this is for you, Gary, but I know you don't like flowers, so I'm going to give it to Colleen, if that's okay, as your representative. Thank you. We set it down here. You got it. We appreciate so much what you guys did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful evening where we could just sit and meditate upon you, and put all the commercialism aside, and just remember why, what Christmas is all about, and why we're here, and the thankfulness that we have for you that you did come into to this earth, not only to be born, but to live and to die, and save us from our sins. So we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to retain this spirit throughout this week, and not let the commercialism come in and rob us of this true joy that you give us. Father, we also want to bless the meal that we have upcoming now. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. We appreciate this opportunity once again to fellowship and socialize downstairs, and we ask your blessings on this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed to go downstairs.